Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And this is all you're going to hear from me on this version of the Game Junkies podcast. For this episode, I'm only here to do some news of Alex. Alex is the one leading this episode so much that he kicked me off it for a week. So,
and the fact that you didn't want to buy this game.
I didn't. I'm sorry, dude. I didn't. But you and Kerry did enjoy it. So listen, after the news, which to the review of a classic remake of, what is the game called again, Alex?
Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town. It used to be known as Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town, but there was two companies involved and basically they split, and that's a whole lot of information that Kerry talks about.
Okay, well, listen out for that. Of course, Kerry, of course, one of the stars of Dungeons & Junkies, and she rightly gets some FaceTime, but you can't see her face. Alex, news. Let's talk about what's been on our minds. Basically, a lot of PlayStation stuff, pretty much. What you got, buddy?
I think the one thing that sticks out the most, and I will admit I'm extremely butthurt by this, is when we get Marvel Avengers, PlayStation gets Spider-Man on it, and we don't. Which, I'm not usually fussed by exclusives like that, but this one does hurt a bit.
It hurts because you are a Spidey boy. You are a Spider boy.
I mean, my tag name is literally Spider Bread. And I'm also arachnophobic.
Which is going to make when we play Grounded for our next episode very interesting, Alex, indeed.
Spiders.
We're doing it, Alex. Bring something sharp and pointy. It's fine. So Spider-Man is going to be PlayStation exclusive, which is something we're not happy about personally. I've had a lot of people not happy about that in general. And actually, there's a lot of PlayStation people who aren't happy about that, which is bizarre. You wouldn't think they'd be upset about it, but they're not happy. It's only PlayStation exclusive. Go figure. Obviously, Hawkeye is coming to all versions, which made Alec quite happy because it means the whole team is together.
I think Hawkeye gets a lot of shit and is a much better character than people give him credit for.
He certainly got a lot of development, didn't he? Got a lot more development in, like, Endgame especially.
Yeah, that really showed his character, his personality.
Absolutely. And of course, he's got his own TV show coming to Disney Plus once filmmaking get underway for it after lockdown is over. I noticed a lot of stuff from PlayStation, obviously, because time of recording yesterday was State of Play, obviously. Now, I don't know if you know anything about this, Alex, or not, so I'm going to run through some of the things they talked about. They kicked things off with Crash Bandicoot 4, a bunch of new gameplay, some new features, new skins, an unlikely playable character, Dingo Dial? Apparently he's a playable character now. The inverted mode in a very crash-filled version of a mirror mode. New trailers out there now. Go look at that one, obviously. One that I'm extremely looking forward to, though, and I think Alex might be interested in now, is the amount of VR stuff they're talking about. So this is going to be PS4, obviously. Star Wars VR.
I'm intrigued. I haven't kept up to date with this, to be fair, so this is the first I'm hearing of it.
I'm going to quote this word for word. I am reading this from an article. The article in question is from GamesRadar. Okay, so I'm quoting this word for word, so I know. This is what they said about Star Wars VR, Vader Immortal. There's probably some deep extended universe lore behind your relationship with Darth Vader in Vader Immortal, a Star Wars VR series. But the important thing is that it's a playground full of force abilities and, frankly, an irresponsible number of lightsabers. Slice, stab, and throw your way through menacing droids when it comes to PSVR on August 25th. Now, this is going to make Alex go extremely green with envy. Me and Crispy moved in together by then, and he's got a PSVR.
Is that going to be on PS5? I haven't kept up to date with PS5.
I don't know if PS5 is embracing the VR.
I hope they do, because VR is the future of gaming. Well, it has to be.
Well, that actually can slot quite nicely in. Do you remember with my next bit of news? Do you remember, Alex, when I did my games of a decade, start of the year with you? Hitman 2 was on my list.
That's in VR, isn't it? I did hear about that.
Hitman 3, obviously, when it is going to have VR support, you can play the whole game in VR, and you can play the first two in VR as well through backwards compatibility on the PS4. I literally wet myself when I heard about this. I was so excited. I love playing Hitman. I know all the ways to kill the targets in the first two games. To be able to do that in VR as well, I can't wait to do that. I mean, Hitman in VR, slight sinister perhaps, but everyone's dreamt about being Agent 47 at some point. They get a chance to experience it, and because VR can be a little bit disorientating, you can dip in and out when you want to, sort of thing. Hitman, the blank canvas, it's got to. I don't know how they're going to work it, like going through the crowd, sort of thing. I'm guessing you're going to be able to like use a D-pad. I've guessed they figured that one out, because you actually saw the gameplay for it, and you're actually walking through a crowd, no problem. So. They must have figured it out. It's not like from hop to point to point to point like you do in some games.
Yeah.
It's a proper walk for a crowd sort of thing. I'm like...
It's interesting. I suppose the only thing that I think they need to do next to VR is get rid of the cable. Because when I played Iron Man VR, I almost tripped over that cable.
But you had fun doing it, didn't you?
It actually made me feel quite ill, to be honest. I don't know whether I was just wearing the thing wrong, because the edges did seem a little bit blurry. But it did give me one hell of a headache. But that was my first VR experience, so that could be why.
Yeah, fair enough.
In other news, I just want to quickly say,
sure.
I don't know if you've seen it, but that's Chorizo for Far Cry 6.
Is he on, like, some kind of...
Yeah, I don't think he's got any wheelchair. Back legs, so he's got wheels.
He's a wheelchair dog.
And he is adorable. If you haven't seen Ubisoft's tweet, look it up.
He's the goodest of good boys from the look of it, definitely. One last thing that caught my attention from the Let's Play, Alex, was... Now, you're a fan of chess, Alex, aren't you?
Fan of what?
Chess.
Love it. I haven't played in a couple years, but I love it.
Auto Chess is coming to PlayStation. Originally released on PC and mobile, Auto Chess is an auto battler strategy game powered by minions. You get your rooks and knights and bishops out of here. This is a game about magicians, warriors, and fantastical beasts. It's basically a MOBA crammed into a chessboard. And while it may sound ridiculous, somehow it just works. What more can you ask for? A MOBA crossed with chess should work perfectly. I remember when they combined Mortal Kombat with chess. It was brutal, let's face it. I'm really good at playing Mortal Kombat. I'm really good at playing chess. It was a no-brainer for me.
I bet I could beat you at chess.
We've never played.
I could beat you.
It would be interesting. We'll find out at some point. Maybe we'll do it in front of an audience at AGX, Alex. That'd be fun. It'll be fun. Okay, the Caitlin can referee it. Right. I don't have much more news, really, Alex, to be brutally honest. So I will step out here, and I will leave the rest to you and Kerry.
I'm Alex, and this is the Game Junkies. Now, on this episode, it's slightly different because Matt's not with us. I wanted to get him to play this game, but there was no chance. So basically, he's been ditched. So instead, to talk about Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town, I have my sister. Say hello.
Howdy. I'm Kerry. If you follow the Dungeons and Junkies, you might know me as Alili, one of the players.
Or many others in a minute.
Ah, yes.
So obviously, we're talking about one of my childhood games, but more specifically, probably one of your childhood and adulthood, well, just entirety, generations, even when the game split, series.
Yeah, especially if you're like me, and every time you get wind that a new one's coming out, it's like, this is where all my money's going.
It's like the meme where it's like, Billy, this is money, be responsible. Billy, no, and Billy's already at the machine buying Harvest Moon and Story of Seasons. But we'll get to that one. Right, so what's your thoughts on the game to start with?
It's kind of hard to pinpoint just, like, one set of thoughts about the game. Because I played the original, Friends of Mineral Town, it's kind of like a big spoonful of nostalgia for me. But I think because of the more modern games, I was honestly kind of expecting a little bit more, because I've been used to like things such as complete character customization and all that.
Which is fair enough. I mean, I found the problem with a remake of an old game, especially one that's the very original, is there's not a lot of content.
I suppose not. It did feel a little empty compared to the original Story of Seasons titles, which are the newer ones. But again, I suppose because it's a remake of an old game, they didn't want to stray too far from the original material.
No, which is fair enough. But I mean, I don't think it ever hurts to add more content into it.
No. To be fair, when the original game came out, it was a solid game for its time. It was Game Boy Advance. That's how long ago it was.
I remember playing it back on the Game Boy, and it felt huge back then.
I suppose it did. It did feel like the map was a lot smaller now. Again, for myself, I think that's because all the newer games have bigger maps. And again, I guess they didn't want to stray too far from the original material. But when you were younger and playing it on a small screen, where everyone was super pixelated, super ancient anime art style, that was another thing. It was kind of almost like a jump back in quality from the art style of the newer games, but nostalgia draws people in.
So now that we just spent a couple minutes talking about the new to the old, pairing the two together, I suppose we can add on what's new to the game, what's old, and what did they ditch entirely?
Well, a lot of the characters have updated looks in the new game. Not all of them I'm a fan of, I have to admit. Why did they give Cliff a haircut? I'm still upset about that. They made the Kappa, which is a turtle monster, look like a hipster.
I've yet to actually meet him, to be honest.
He likes cucumbers. Just cucumbers.
I mean,
put all your cucumbers in the pond.
I mean, to be fair, cucumbers in a sandwich is like the best thing for them.
Cucumbers are pretty good. I suppose one of the biggest things to come out of this one is the same-sex marriage. This is the first game to actually have that, unless you count the old-timey best friend system.
Let's just scrap that, because if you're not going to call it a wedding, then it's not a wedding, is it? It's not moving on with the times.
It's nice, it feels inclusive. I personally really like it. And it's one of the things that's constantly been brought up in Reddit chats of what would you like to see in the next game? So it's like, maybe they finally listen to us.
It's a nice addition. So, I mean, I personally think that when you do compare that to the older games, and the games aren't... The last game before this one wasn't that far back, was it?
It wasn't, actually.
So for this to be the first game to actually feature same-sex marriage is quite a surprise, really. I mean, considering where the game is actually made and comes from.
They have very strict, quote-unquote, family values for these games. That was the answer in old interviews of, Why is there no same-sex marriage?
Which is also from a place where a lot of yaoi comes from.
Yeah, there's a small irony in that, I think. As someone who used to delve quite heavily into yaoi, there's a lot of irony in that. Mm.
And the old stuff? What's still present from the original games?
Well, from what I can gather, unless you count the two new marriage options, all the heart events are generally the same. I might have gone pretty hard into this game.
You did. I mean, I could hear you for hours and hours on end.
Yeah, as a small comparison, in Alex's one file, I'm on my fifth file.
I had two files, because you can complete this game within the first 5 minutes. Literally, the moment the intro is up, you can complete the game by saying, no, I don't want the farm.
Credits roll. Well done, you've won.
And what have they ditched from the original, if anything?
I think what they've ditched from the original is only a few minor things, such as the locations of the truth jewels, which I never collected in the old game. I was just like, yep, my character looks like he's going to pass out. I don't really need to go for this long. I'm bored now. Time to start a new file.
So how would you compare it to an original?
What?
Like the original game itself, as well as comparing this one to the last release?
Honestly, it's a bit like comparing apples to oranges. There's features of every game that personally I've liked. Like, if we go back, there's now only three Story of Seasons games. They split due to a localization issue when Natsume, I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right, by the way, decided to keep the rights to the Harvest Moon game when Marvelous decided that their American division, Xseed, would take over the North American distribution. So there's only three Story of Seasons games. The first one, that one, when you got married, your children retained the appearance of your spouse and you always had twins, one girl and one boy. In the next game, they kept the appearance, but you had one child. And in this one, they have set appearances like the old game did, which might raise a few questions when the child looks like neither you nor your spouse.
I mean, to be fair, it makes sense if they're trying to keep to the originals to keep the set sprites.
On another note, the same-sex marriage baby scene is hilarious. The goddess just appears one morning and says, "Here's a baby, BT Dubs," and then you have to explain to your spouse why there is a baby in the bed. Good times.
And how would you compare it to... We're going to basically go off a Story of Seasons, mainly, because obviously they did have the split, and this is a Story of Seasons game. How would you compare it to their last release?
That's a good question.
In short, what would you say is better?
I'm going to have to go with the last release, honestly. A lot more of it just felt new. Just the characters felt a lot more well-rounded in the last game. And again, I know this is because this is a remake and they didn't want to stray too far from the original personalities. But as much as I love all of them, they didn't really have that much of a personality. With like their same three lines of dialogue, no matter what time of day you speak to them.
And I suppose that's what... as I've always said, as much as I love a remake, I think that's what makes them disappointing.
Yeah.
Because since they're trying so hard to be like their originals, there isn't new content. Not always, anyway.
Not always, no.
So, I suppose it's the likes and dislikes about it now. What really stood out for you and what did you hate about it?
Harping back to it, I really liked that they finally implemented same-sex marriage, and they actually call it marriage, not best friends ceremony.
Though it's not that progressive, because they don't call it marriage in every country, do they?
I'm not sure. Obviously, I've only played the European release, but it is known as marriage there. Something they've taken away on this game, when you ask your chosen to basically be your boyfriend or girlfriend, in the last two Story of Seasons games, dialogue changes, everybody acknowledges it, people are like, haha, you've got a girlfriend now. In this game, nothing really changes.
It just carries on like normal.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for new dialogue options. I really like dialogue options.
Which is fair enough, because it adds more texture to a game, doesn't it?
In the older games, I was the person who played for it over and over and over and over to catalogue all the dialogue to put into guides.
It just adds more to the person you're speaking to.
Yeah.
Basically just gives them more of a personality.
Oh, absolutely. Something else I like about this one. I think a lot of what I like about this one is coloured by nostalgia, because I have the original Game Boy Advance game in my room, like the label's falling off, but it's still there.
Yeah, I've seen that.
What didn't I like? It's not exactly a like or a dislike. Well, I suppose it's a like. That they kept the confessional booth in the church. It's hilarious how mean-spirited the priest can be.
I've yet to use that, and to be fair, the way the priest seems, you wouldn't expect him to be as you just described.
It's brilliant, because you talk to him and he tells you, like, oh, what a lovely day, as you go into the confessional booth and you're like, I overslept this one time. All your animals will die and your farm will be cursed for 100 years. It's like, all right, Carter, calm down.
He'll ask you to roll a d20 for animal death.
Also on this one, I'm not sure animals can die.
No, because you can't buy medicine and they don't seem to get sick. So it does raise the question of whether animals can actually die or not.
Or whether they just die of old age. On some of the older games, you get a little pop-up when you start explaining that there are some concepts in this game that may be upsetting to children because it deals with death and sickness.
Yeah, which in the older games, like the game, not the Game Boy, the DS was the perfect example of it, because there was an older lady called Nina who did die in that game.
In the first Story of Seasons game, your next door neighbour, who was an elderly lady farmer, she dies at the end of autumn and leaves you her farm. And if you go to the bottom of the farm in the corner, there's a grave for her that you can leave flowers on. It's actually really touching, because you see her decline as the time goes on.
Yeah.
Like, she stops going outside into her farm, and in the end she doesn't leave her house at all. So you have to go and see her, and then when she's on her deathbed, the mayor comes and gets you.
So, any other dislikes?
Only small petty things, like, I don't like some of the appearance changes in the characters. I was hoping they'd add more to the dialogue in the heart events, and they didn't. And it's very petty things to dislike for me, but when you say, let's date to one person, they say, okay, let's date, bye, I'm off now.
Which is true. I suppose for me, my likes of the game is mainly the simple things. I like the new graphic style. I think it is really interesting. I mean, I personally like all the new character designs. I know you're lacking ponytails.
Gotta give my boy a haircut, didn't ya?
And the other thing that really stands out for me is the different coloured cows.
Oh, yes. That's actually something I like. It's cute, and especially their little bells on their tails. That's new.
The things I don't like... The fact that crops can get destroyed in storms, which I'm guessing has been a thing for a while.
That's been a thing for a long time.
It's just annoying, because it would be nicer if they could ditch that, to be honest. The fact that my horse was taken away, even though I cared for it every other day.
You're still bitter about that.
You get a horse in this game, and it's 90 days. You have to talk to it and brush it every single day for 90 days straight, which I didn't realise. So I basically brushed it probably 60-odd times, 70 within those 90 days, and talked to it. He still took the horse away, because apparently I didn't take care of it.
The annoying thing about this horse, though, is when you first get your farm space, it's overrun by massive boulders and stumps that you can't move around or destroy until you get high-quality tools. This horse can run over the top of everything. It will run away, and you've got to try and spend an hour or two chasing it around your farm.
And when you're like us and you want to maximise profit in the summer by growing 8 hours worth of water and pineapples.
Yeah, this
you don't have time for a horse.
The pineapple thing might have been my fault. I told Alex to get as many pineapples as he could for lots of money. You can spend 12 to 16 hours watering those pineapples with your crappy beginning watering can.
Every single day for a solid month.
or for the first 28 days, you get the first one, the regrow, and then you scream in relief because it's all over.
And it doesn't rain. I suppose the other things that I dislike is, though I know it's an older game, well, a remake of an older game, but it's the fact there is nothing, like, majorly new. There is no new content. It's just recycled.
Yeah.
And the other thing that annoys me is how long you have to wait to get dogs and cats.
That is a bit of a piss take. Because on the old game, well, I say the old ones, I mean the really, really old ones now. Back, we're talking back like Harvest Moon DS. You begin with a dog and a cat. And if I remember rightly, getting the horse takes no effort at all.
So, how would you rate this game out of 10? And what would you change?
Oh, that's a tough one. Because I'm trying not to let, like, nostalgic times, rose-tinted glasses and all that, colour this.
That's how I feel. As much as I like nostalgia, nostalgia is only going to be there for a short while.
I'd say it's a solid 7 out of 10.
Why would you rate it 7 out of 10? And what would you change to make it 10 out of 10?
Honestly, I think I've just been spoiled by the newer features of the newer games, like character customization, more in-depth scenes, dialogue, characters, even small things like my kid looks like my spouse. But I am hoping that they carry over the same-sex marriage and a few other things along with it.
Which I think they will do.
Here's hoping. I think there will be protests if they do not.
So for me, I'm going to rate it a 6 out of 10. It's a fantastic game. It really does bring back the nostalgia factor, as much as I try not to pinpoint that as the only good thing. So the graphics are really nice, and the new things, like the new cows, the new animals. It's a really interesting thing. I mean, you can have penguins, for Christ's sake. I don't know how the penguins work, because I've never actually got any penguins.
You actually buy them in the summer, ironically enough.
How?
From the pet seller guy. From Van. He sells penguins in the summer.
In the summer?
Yes.
Well, they're happy feets.
Harvest Moon logic.
The thing that does get to me, and the reason why it doesn't get a higher score for me, is the fact it is the same game we played all those years ago at an inflated price.
Yeah, they basically conned you into buying a game that was £20 up to like £45.
And that's the problem with remakes that don't get any new content.
Yeah, there's not even any DLC type things going on, I shouldn't think. Yes, it was the last one. There was DLC things like marriage candidates and costumes. And it was all good fun. It only added a very small amount of content to the game, but it was something.
Right, so and with that just about wraps up everything to talk about this game. I know it was a shorter episode, but obviously Matt ditching us, we can't get his, well, in his opinion, his sophisticated opinions, which aren't always that sophisticated.
Oof.
So, where can they find you?
They can find me at ShiroBeans at literally every social media site. I'm one of those people who uses the same name for everything. I'm very creative like that. Also, bring back ducks in the next game. Sorry, that's very misplaced. I just remembered it.
Oh, yeah, because they had ducks.
I had a duck called Swimmy when I was little.
As well as they can also find you on Game Junkie Presents Dungeons and Junkies.
That's right.
Which is our extension to Dungeons and Dragons, where we will be exclusively having content for Dungeons and Dragons with a few other people. And so what do you post about?
Oh god, that's a good question.
Basically everything.
At the moment, mostly bullet journaling and whinging about how I have to halve my body weight over the next year or so. Because dying of morbid obesity isn't fun, kids.
Let's make sure you get that ticked off your list. And, of course, thank you to our sponsor, Triumph Chairs, for selling ridiculously nice chairs. If you need a nice gaming chair, you can get one at their shop and use use code GAMEJUNKIES to get a 10% discount at the checkout. So that covers everything. I'm Alex.
I'm Kerry. Thank you for having me today.
And this is the Game Junkies. We're out of here.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.